This is your quote.
What?
All right.
Tell me if
go
this
ahead,
is true.
Go ahead.
I see a lot of breasts when I'm singing, but that's not what I'm into. Number of ways to take that.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Human Clay was spearheaded by Higher, one of a record 7 consecutive number one singles. Altogether, the band has now sold more than 13 million records in less than 5 years. Can
you
take me
higher? You know, like, the deal was, man, it was like, you know, I felt like people needed to, you know, like, know what was up.
My life was headed for superstardom. All my rock and roll dreams were coming true. And I remember waking up one day and feeling something's wrong with me. Just a heaviness. I had no energy. I didn't want to get out of bed. That's when I began to self-medicate. And that's when the drinking and the pills came into the equation. And I would just stay on my tour bus alone, and kind of cut everybody off, and really led to the breakup of the band.
Foo Fighters and his version of Creed, Arms Wide Open.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll. I'm BJ, and finally, he's back. Brian Sword, back on Rock and or Roll. It's been way too long, my friend.
It has been. Thanks for having me back, buddy.
Always, always. But I must apologize for the reason you're back.
Well, maybe that's why it's taken me so long to come back.
Yeah,
you asked for this a long time ago, and I listened to the songs today, so, you know.
Yeah, well, this all stems from your idea of worst of episodes, where we picked the 5 worst songs, and that transformed into best of, where we have to pick the 5 best songs by the worst bands. And so hopefully people remember the amazing Hootie and the Blowfish episode that we did, and now we're finally back for another round of best of, and this time we're tackling... Are they from Florida? Florida Rockers Creed.
I was brilliant when the last episode went live because people weren't necessarily in on the joke. So when it was best of Hootie, some of the comments were like, "What, Hootie sucks. What are you doing wasting your time on that?" You know, they didn't realize that it was really our excuse to talk shit about them.
It was also funny, though, how many comments we got from people who actually liked Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hey, they sold a lot of records for a reason.
Yeah. Well, so did Creed. I think their first album sold, is it 6 million copies? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they formed by Scott Stapp and Mark Tremonti, the singer and guitar player. I guess they knew each other in high school, and they reconnected at university. They were at Florida State, and that was when they were in college, when they decided to start this band. Creed. And so they actually had auditions, and they were a five-piece band at first. They had a second guitar player named Brian Brasher, but he ended up quitting the band. I guess he wasn't in it very long. I don't know. And then they just continued on as a four-piece and started just playing locally around Tallahassee. And I guess they didn't have the name Creed at first. And one of their shows they played, they went by the name Naked Toddler.
Oh, boy.
Which Mark Tremonti says he got from a headline in the newspaper. Some headline about a naked toddler, and they thought that would be a good band name. But then a concert promoter suggested they change it, which was wise.
Jeez, I wonder why. So they named it after Rocky's best opponent.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, I mean, I always knew that, like, Creed were like a Christian rock band, I thought. But I think that mainly just came down to Scott Stapp and his lyrics. I think he was the one that injected the religiosity into it, I think.
Oh, and the videos, too. The videos, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like, I always thought they were, you know, a religious band. I thought that was, you know, they were the new Striper.
I think his dad's like a minister or something. I remember, I mean, I was going to watch it again, but I don't know. I started playing a video and it didn't work, and then I just said, screw it. But I remember the Creed behind the music.
I don't care enough to try.
Well, I wanted to see, because I remember watching, you know, I used to watch every Behind the Music when it like premiered on Sunday nights or whatever it was. And so I remember watching the Creed and just thinking Scott Stapp was just this complete pretentious douchebag. You know, he just came, I remember he came across really bad in the Behind the Music. I think he was raised religious, and so he carried that over into the music. But it's really interesting how the other three guys in Creed have managed to carry on with a new band and just completely disown their past. And like, it's like they're not even held to account for what they did with Creed. They managed to actually have like credibility and shit. How did they pull
it's
that
true.
Off? I don't know how they pulled it off. It's crazy.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't like Alter Bridge, but I know a lot of people do. Obviously, Miles Kennedy is a lot more palatable than fucking Scott Stapp. Like,
oh, clearly.
I love some of the songs he did with Slash. So his voice does it. You know, it's the Creed is the same thing as Hootie and the Blowfish, except even more extreme. It's like, even if they had a good song, I couldn't listen to those fucking vocals.
Well, that was my problem in making this list.
Yeah.
And I've made notes of songs where I just like, I'm kind of into this. Good riff. I wish it was a little heavier, but good. Oh, the vocals. Nope. I can't handle it. You know, it just destroys the song.
Yeah.
And the vocal melodies are shit, too.
Yeah, true. But his vocal style is exactly what I hate.
It's so generic because there's at times where it's like, okay, he's trying to do his best. Alice in Chains. Okay, gotcha. Oh, that's Scott Weiland. That sounds a bit more like Pearl Jam. Like those kind of grunge bands were a clear influence that it's, especially the early stuff. It's right there. He's clearly trying to do his best impersonation of these other singers.
Yeah, but there's just something else there that makes it so much worse.
That's called douche. There's lots of douche.
Yeah, so their first album, My Own Prison, came out in 97 and was a huge hit. And then their second album, Human Clay, was an even bigger hit. It's a diamond record. And, I mean, everybody knows those songs, Higher and With Arms Wide Open. Those were just ubiquitous songs for a year or two there. Just like inescapable, you know.
Oh, totally.
But you know, it was a steep decline after that, I think, for the band. They had another album, Weathered, but I don't think it really was that big of a hit. Well, I guess it was number one on Billboard.
Yeah, but I think there was one song that did well on that one. I have to look.
I don't
remember. But I think there was one kind of hit on that record.
Oh, My Sacrifice, is that the? I don't even remember that song, but holy shit, that album sold 6 million too? Jesus Christ, they really lasted, didn't they?
Yeah, I was really surprised when that last album came out because Mark, the guitar player, had moved on. He was still having he was doing pretty well on his own. I was surprised that, you know, he would even associate himself with Creed again by 2009.
Yeah, I guess the money was good enough.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they probably got offered a wheelbarrow full of money. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, I think Alter Bridge have a lot more success in Europe, but not really in the States. So it's like they can sell a lot more tickets in the U.S. as Creed than Alter Bridge.
Absolutely.
At least at that time, yeah. So, So they just, you know, Alter Bridge makes their living off of Europe these days, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't think his own solo band, I don't think it does okay, but I don't think it does huge business either.
Oh, yeah, I remember he was on That Metal Show promoting that, I think.
Yeah.
I remember.
I think they did two records, I think. I'm not sure. It's really interesting because I know he's a good guitar player. And for me, generally, as a music guy who cares less about the singer, like, I was amazed when I went through this to realize I'd never listened to Creed outside of what was on the radio. Usually, if I know the guitar player is good, I'll at least be curious enough to check it out. But the singer is so toxic to me that I'd never listen to it, ever, this music.
Yeah.
That went diamond, you know what I mean? Outside of those songs that you just couldn't avoid.
Yeah, I think if we ever do more Worst of episodes, if I could ever rope you into doing more, I think it's always going to come back to the vocals. I think that's the thing
truly.
If you've got a singer that even if it was a good song, you wouldn't like it, you know, that's a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you instantly, as soon as you hear their voice, you're like, you hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. So God, that Weathered album was still a big hit. And then I guess they broke up after that, but then they ended up getting back together and had a reunion album. I don't know. I didn't organize my notes very well. How much time could you spend on this shit?
As little as possible.
So
yeah, I remember that was big news when they reformed, but I don't know if it actually sold anything.
Right.
Probably did though, because they were a big band. They're like Nickelback. You know, nobody admits they like Creed. Nobody admits they like Nickelback, but they still, you know, are hugely successful.
Yeah, that fucking Human Clay album sold 10 million copies. So, and that's just in
the
exactly.
U.S. Now, magically, nobody likes Creed. Nobody bought them. Oh, I would never. No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they may be using it as a coaster now, but people bought it.
But, you know, that MTV and the radio just played that shit nonstop. But, God, it's hard to imagine people like that With Arms Wide Open song. How the hell did they like that shit?
I don't know, man.
Well, I don't know.
If the state of the music is better now than it was then, but it was a pretty dark time back then. But I can't even say it's improved.
Yeah, right. Well, the most interesting thing about Creed is Alter Bridge, right?
In the
whole Creed story, that's the most interesting thing, is that those three guys were able to reinvent themselves to such an extent that they don't even carry any of the baggage of Creed, which is a miracle.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the singer sure does.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they've somehow washed their hands of it and they're clean. It's really bizarre because that really rarely happens. Like that shit on your shoe forever, you know, but they seem to really have, because they're like cool, you know, like that's a band that's considered cool.
Right.
And that's basically Creed with a different singer. And I think one of the members has changed over the years. I think. Or maybe the bass player comes and goes a little bit or something. I don't know. But still.
The bass player of Creed was out of the band. But then when they formed Alter Bridge, he was back. So they
brought
that guy
the singer.
Back. Yeah.
He probably hated the singer.
I think he had substance abuse problems. But so did the singer. I mean, he's had a lot of issues over years.
Oh,
Scott Stapp has.
There's been a lot of self-medication by that dude.
Yeah, he suffered from that. All the success went straight to his fucking head. And then when it goes away, you know, he can't cope. He's just a disaster. So.
But even that, he was in a band with Bumblefoot and they ended up suing him because, you know, he didn't meet his obligation. He took the paycheck and recorded the album, then wouldn't do anything to promote it, you know.
Scott Stapp was in a band with Bumblefoot?
Yeah, the first record was Scott Weiland. And then he left, and then they hired Scott Stapp. So I forget the name of the band. But they've had, you know, bad luck with singers, and Bumblefoot was the lead guitar player in the band.
Mm-hmm. I put together the intro for this episode a while ago, and I was trying to find clips of Scott Stapp being a douchebag, and I just found stuff. Like, I think he was on Dr. Phil and shit like that.
Yeah, because we've been talking about this one for maybe a year.
Yeah.
And I've been stalling for about a year.
Well, I just think that this best of idea is so funny that I ought to keep doing it. But then here we are recording it. It's like, what the hell do we talk about? I guess we should just get into the songs.
Let's just jump into it.
Yeah. Well,
okay, let me go first so you can end with your own number one since it's your show.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, so for me, when I listened to all the albums, I did not like a single song for real.
Yeah,
like, exactly. There's not a single song that I could put on and be like, you know what? You know, I got to give him a pass on this one for real. I like it.
Nope.
There's not one. So no. It didn't make any sense for me to do like my top five when the five I chose, I don't like any of them better than the other ones. I'm just like, these are the five that I could tolerate. So I'm doing mine chronological, starting with the earliest album, you know, and the earliest song, the earliest album. And I've picked five in order that I can handle. So my first song is off my own prison called Ode. My notes are cool riff, like really cool guitar playing. It's really great, but holy fuck, I hate the vocals. The first two songs, I guess this is song three. The first two songs had a clear Alice in Chains inspiration in the vocals. And this one, I don't know, sounds a little more just like you'd expect of Scott. I hate the production. But I do admit, if this song had a different singer, I think it would be a cool song. Like, if this was an Alter Bridge song, I think this would be a really kick-ass song.
I don't know about that, but that song is also on my list. And if I remember right, it just sounds exactly like Alice in Chains, like a completely shameless impersonation of Alice in Chains, except with the Creed singer, you know?
And the first album is very Alice in Chains.
Yeah. But this song, I stood out as...
Oh, no, yeah, this is song two. You're right, sorry. This was the second song in the album. That was my note, is that the first two songs, because the third song is My Own Prison, which was one of their hits. So, yeah, the first two songs were complete, unabashedly Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
But this one still, musically at least, got a pass for me.
Well, it just sounds... I like Alice in Chains, so this sounds exactly like an Alice in Chains song. So... I mean, that's why I picked it, because it's better than a Creed song, because it's an Alice in Chains song. We'll be right back.
It's amazing they got away with that, because when other bands tried to ape Alice in Chains, like, well, they were, I guess they were going to be called Uncool at the time, but Warrant did an Alice in Chains inspired record. And, you know, they took a lot of shit for it. But these guys come along and they have massive success. But I guess the singles weren't terribly like Alice in Chains. It was all just the rest of the album.
Well, you know, Creed are the Warrant to Alice in Chains. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like,
yes.
If Alice in Chains are like Cinderella, then Creed are Warrant, you know? Which I like Warrant. But you know, what happened with the alternative thing was the same thing that happened with the hair metal thing, where everybody talks about the cookie cutter bands, blah, 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 the clone bands. Yeah. Well, it was Creed were the same exact fucking thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, in the 80s, you had like the Def Leppards and those that, you know, then the next generation was like Poison and, Warrant, where, you know, a couple years later, all these young bands came up copying them. That does make sense. The Creed, in many ways, are like, next generation Alice in Chains.
Yeah, yeah. Watered down, worse, lamer version of Alice
in Chains. Which they always are. It always is that way. You had that on your list. How high on that list was it for you?
That was my number two.
Wow, okay. So, there you go.
I picked these songs a while ago. Like, we were talking about how we've been planning this for a long time. And so when I went back here to take some notes on these songs, I was like, how could I have picked these songs? But I have to just trust myself that when I went through the songs, these were the ones I picked. I'm not going to do it again, you know? I'm not going to back and do it again. But the song that's my number five is called Stand Here With Me from Weathered, and it's basically With Arms Wide Open 2. So it's just incredibly fucking awful, but it must have been the least awful, because this sure as hell isn't good.
stand here with me.
I had that on my list as like a potential.
Yeah.
You know, I just had Stand Here With Me. Okay, but I'm bored. The music was decent at the beginning, but it didn't really go anywhere. But it did, compared to the rest, it did almost make my list.
Yeah, it must just be slightly less painful to subject yourself to this song than the rest of
them. Yeah, it is. It's shit. It's shit. Like, it's shit.
No, it's but so horrible.
The other stuff is so fucking terrible that it's just absolutely unlistenable. At least this one, you can make it in for the first 30 seconds before you want to be like, oh, God, like move
on. Well, that's
the
thing. When I was listening to this yesterday, I was like, how the hell could I have picked this song? But then I was like, well, there must have been a reason.
It's relative, man.
It just must have been that the other ones were worse than this.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because it is better than the bulk of it. It's just not top five for me, but it is still better than the bulk of the other songs on this fucking terrible album.
Yeah, that one's from Weathered from 2001.
Yeah. Okay, my second song is one called Unforgiven from My Own Prison. And this is like a Pearl Jam meets something song. And I don't know what it is, but it's Pearl Jam meets something. I couldn't quite figure it out. Again, I could listen to it with a different singer because I like the music. But God, he wrecks. Scott Stapp wrecks everything he touches. Like, Jesus. Sorry, he's religious. I could have said that. But I barely made it over something like Stand Here With Me, but it made my top five.
But they are Unforgiven for that song.
Unforgivable.
Well, my number four is called Never Die, and I wrote that it's an Eddie Vedder impression. I can't say anything good about it. It's just the lesser of 100 evils. It's mellow. It must be in part that the vocals are slightly less infuriating than the other songs, but the vocals are horrible on this. On this song, I think he gets gruff and kind of aggressive on the chorus, so it's not as bad as his other, like, inflected, you know, forced kind of angst to the vocals. At least when there's, like, a harsh aspect to his vocal, it's not as horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I don't like anything really about this song at all.
But
it's just a matter of trying to pick, yeah, what are the least painful ones to listen to, because they're all painful. So
so let the children
Okay, so to finish off my own prison, I had flagged the song called Sister as having potential, but completely lost me on the vocals. They were just so bad, it was unforgivable, so I couldn't include it. So I moved on to Human Clay. What If starts interesting, but the vocals start in, and it's poor man Scott Weiland, I can't deal with it, so I couldn't keep that one on my list. So my number three is actually Never Die, which my notes were, I really like the music, but it's interesting because I had it down as a Lane Staley attempt on the vocals. So we both heard some early 90s grunge, but separate, different singers.
Yeah.
And to date, my note was, to date, this is my favorite song so far. So album two, I forget the number, the track number that one is, but of the stuff I'd heard, I would say that Never Die was actually my favorite of the group. And that's not saying much, folks, because it's all shit. But for me, this one was the best of the turds.
And that okay, so Never Die is from Human Clay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, my number three is from Full Circle. I guess that's the reunion album in 2009. Yep. It's called Fear. I wrote, there's an all right riff on the after the chorus. And I guess he sings with a little less of his nightmarish inflections. But then
nightmarish inflections.
But I wanted to make fun of the lyrics of this song. There's a line. Okay, these are the lines. Rudiments of interpersonal communication. Truth will uproot and bring war's devastation to light.
You know when that dickhead wrote those lyrics that he was like, yeah, proud of himself. I'm like, this stuff's genius.
Rudiments of interpersonal communication. What the fuck? Thesaurus, anyone? What is he doing? He's such a pretentious fucking douche.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's unforgivably bad.
Civilization sparks my fascination. Truth ignites a generation to change what's been programmed inside the mind. Don't you turn a blind eye. Change what's been programmed inside. Don't you turn a blind eye. Listen to me when I tell you. Feel the passion in my breath. Stay on top if they let you. Cause the change is permanent. Change is permanent.
tell you. Feel the passion in my breath. Stay on top if they let you. Cause the change is permanent. Listen to me when I tell you. Feel the passion in my breath. Stay on top if they let you. Cause the change is permanent. Change is permanent.
It's really bad.
Okay, so I had a note about Human Clay as well that I'm getting really sick of how repetitive the music is. Mm-hmm. All these songs starting with these clean guitars and then they get heavy. It's just, it's like this formula that gets repeated over and over again.
Right.
So I didn't have anything else I could handle off of Human Clay, which is hilarious because that was their biggest record. So like yourself, I've moved on. So on to Weathered. Oh, no, I had Stand With Me. That was the one with you, but it didn't quite make my list. I said it was okay, but I'm bored. So then on to Full Circle as well. I had a song called Suddenly. Cool guitar riff. I found the vocals were pretty harmless, so they did not actually destroy the song. And that's really all I can ask.
Yeah, exactly.
I found it to be very of its time, the kind of early 2000s. You can really hear it. That's when that song came out. But again, if you take this riff, you can make a good song out of it.
Nurture an instinct to send what's underneath.
Well, yeah, so you actually found something positive to say about a Creed song. That's really all we're trying to do is find any excuse.
I never would have thought I'd be able to say that vocals are pretty harmless in a Creed song, but that one I think they were.
That's all it takes to make this list is to, if the vocals aren't, you know.
If they don't destroy it. Because I had other songs that were pretty good, and the vocals were like, I could not put this on a list with these vocals.
Yeah, so my number two was Ode, which we already talked about, which is just Paint by Numbers, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
So.
And then my number fifth was one I think you picked earlier called Fear.
Right.
I said, well, a cool heavy riff. You know, a singer, a real singer could do a lot with this song. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but, you know, good guitar playing.
Okay, so we matched on three, and plus you also had Stan here with me on your short list, so obviously I don't think it's a coincidence that those are the ones that stood out probably.
And to me, so I had, whatever, five, six, seven or eight songs in total that, you know, I commented on. I found those to be well ahead of the rest. And I can't really sing too many praises about it, but the rest of it is just complete garbage. I absolutely freaking hated it.
Well, yeah, it's obviously...
I was really glad it was over when I got through that last album. I was really, really glad I was done with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way it's a coincidence that we just independently went through every Creed song and three of the five we picked were the same. But my number one, I just made it my number one because it's called One. So I just let Creed tell me that it was number one from My Own Prison. What? See, now this song, the music to me was tolerable. I don't like the tuned down guitars. I don't like the 90s nu metal sound, guitar sound for the most part. So, and this doesn't have that. It's like a cleaner guitar.
I didn't have this at all on my list. This one, and this is your number one. That's interesting.
Well, the vocals are horrible. The vocals are a complete nightmare. There's actually a melody on the pre-chorus I wrote, and then there's layered vocals. So that makes it less painful if they're layered. And it's not just a single vocal track. That helps.
The chorus. Like Stephen Percy. That saved him.
Yeah. The chorus is horrible. I guess it's like a Pearl Jam style song. And layered vocals. There's actually something that resembles a melody that I can. But it's still horrible. It's, you know, I would never listen to this song again. But there were elements of it that were tolerable. But the thing about this song is the lyrics. Now, I wanted to ask you what you think he means, because he says, affirmative may be justified. Take from one, give to another. The goal is to be unified. Take my hand, be my brother. I think he's talking about affirmative action, right?
I think so, too. Yeah, I think that's a race thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't like it because he says... society blind by color, why hold down one to raise another? Discrimination now on both sides. So this is like anti-affirmative action song is what I take away from this, from these fucking lyrics. Because what else does he mean when he says discrimination now on both sides, right? And the way he starts it off with the word affirmative, that's what I take from it. Is he's saying affirmative action is bad because it's discriminating against white people. Why hold down one to raise another? Okay, Scott.
Well, that's the problem that white people have been facing for a long time.
Yeah. And so then
that's sarcasm, folks. Sarcasm.
The chorus is one. The only way is one. You know? So he's saying... no more affirmative action.
We shouldn't even need affirmative action. Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about like an ideal fantasy world, then we wouldn't have needed it, right? But
when
he says discrimination now on both sides, that's the line that really makes
very
me
fine
think.
People.
Yeah, exactly. He's saying there's discrimination against white people when he says on both sides. So that's why that's. Yeah, okay. So the lyrics are fucking horrible. Even if they didn't have a bad message, they're still fucking dumb. So that's the best of Creed. Should I play all of these songs in their entirety just to torture the listeners?
Oh, yeah. If I had to listen to this shit, so do they.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brian, for sacrificing your time to listen to Creed.
My pleasure. It was really just, yeah. I got to say, If there's one thing I learned out of this experience is that I actually gained some respect for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, yeah,
because
that
was way easier to listen to than this shit.
Oh, a million times easier. Yeah, and with Hootie and the Blowfish, I could actually sort of describe what made those songs superior to the others. And with Creed, That's almost impossible to do.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
Still can't believe we live in a world that this Scott Stapp went diamond.
With arms wide open.
Be back.